about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Did I miss anything?
You're just in time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
From Saigon, Long Bin, Bearcat, Da Nang, Coo Chi, Play Coo, Lai K, July, Phucat, Van Rang, and Cameron Bay in Vietnam. From Guam, Wake Island, and Clark Field in the Philippines. From the USS Ranger and the USS Coral Sea on Yankee Station in the Gulf of Tonkin. And from Korat, U Dorn, Tak Li, U Ban, Nakhon Phanom, and Bangkok, Thailand.
And now,
how far away from that is Louisville from that?
Our feature presentation.
What on earth was that?
I want to welcome all of our new Asian affiliates to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's great to have you.
Where are they exactly? I didn't know we had affiliates.
You want to hear that whole list again?
I do. I would like
I don't think you want to start over with that. That was a lot of places. I'm just happy to finally be in Da Nang. That's been my goal all these years.
It has. You've been talking about that forever.
Sure.
Morning, everybody. Hey, brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 6th of February.
What's going on with Typhoid Mary down there, by the way? Lisa, you're still hacking up along every morning.
Know.
What's happening?
I don't know. I'm on antibiotics, and it doesn't – I mean, it's better. My voice is much better, and
right.
I don't cough all night. But
are you sick?
No, I feel fine. But that cough
just – the cough won't go away?
Won't go away. It's horrible.
That cough has been good enough. It could have gotten you out of some work, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I only have 5 sick days, and I've already used 2, so.
What
isn't
do they
that
do?
The saddest thing?
What do they do if you're sick?
I guess I take vacation days, and that's not happening.
Wow. Oh, great. You got to come in here and infect
flu,
us.
So do you.
Great.
That's what I'm telling you
Fantastic.
Right now.
Fantastic.
So have you had this since we came back after the holidays?
The week after we came back, yeah.
Wow. So over a month you've had this
yep.
cough. Yeah, that's not you're
it's
dying.
It's bizarre.
I know
you're dying.
I know 2 or 3 people had the exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
started sick, but then that went away. Everything goes away except for the cough.
Except for the cough.
Mm.
We need a doctor on staff, mostly for mugs, full time.
I mean, I did go to a doctor, and I got the stuff.
What
stuff? Z-Pack,
sure.
Yeah.
Is that not good,
Kevin?
We're
all Z-Pak.
We need to ask Dr. Drew. I don't think it does anything. I think the Z-Pak is, here's something that you can go through the motions of taking so that you will mentally feel better, but it doesn't really help.
So you think you've done something.
Yeah.
Even though you've done it.
And you think your doctor's done something. We should ask him.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Hey, I know we just did What's Up with Florida this week, but this story is so great, it can't wait until the next round. Usually I save my Florida stories until we get a batch. But this one deserves – this is a standalone story. And Kevin, maybe you saw it. It's in Tampa. It's about the guy who set fire to his apartment complex.
Yes,
did you see him?
Yes, I did. That is a looker.
He is trying to get back at the management of his apartment complex, so he started a fire. Now, the thing that I love about – there are many things I love about him, so many things. One of them is that he decided he was going to get back at the management of the apartment complex by setting fire to the complex. He started with his own unit. And
right.
I don't mean his unit. I mean he set his own apartment on fire. Now, doesn't it seem like that's doing you more harm than it's doing management? If you want to burn the mother down, don't you start at the other end of the apartment complex and hope it doesn't get to you so that your life isn't impacted as much?
And it's also a big finger pointing right at you because that's where the fire started. So that's where they're going to start looking.
Yes.
Right?
The fire started in his apartment at B201 on the second floor of the building in Tampa, Florida. He set fire to his bedroom and his kitchen, did most of the damage to his own apartment and some to the apartment next door. And there was a little bit of water damage to a couple of units downstairs as a result of the firefighters.
That's not a very effective fire.
No, it's not. It's not at all. This guy failed on every single level. Now, that's thing one, is bad choice of where to start the fire. Thing two is, why was he angry at his apartment management? Well, they're communists because they came to him and they said, hey, dude, maybe stop standing in the front of your windows in your apartment and in front of your open front door and masturbating so that everyone can see you. Maybe stop that. So he took offense to that because who are they to come in and tell him that he can't do that in his own apartment?
Hey, it's his house, man. He can do what he wants.
In front of windows and doors, but yeah, but still in his apartment. So he decided to burn the place down. So that's thing two that I love about our man. Thing three is, and I asked Muggs to bring up the photos so that you guys could see it.
Oh, yeah.
He has lived in the apartment for over a decade. He is recognizable because he suffers from a facial disfigurement that is the result of having previously shot himself in the face with a shotgun. That's that dude.
I'm just going to step out on a limb here and suggest maybe he's got a mental problem.
Got a little something going on?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Or drugs or alcohol, perhaps.
Yeah, or all of the above.
He has no major criminal history in Florida, which was a big surprise to me because he sounds like the kind of guy who would be in constant trouble. But if anyone wants to see my photo, if you go to my Twitter account, it's my current avatar right now, at Clyde Tumbaugh, you can see this guy's picture. And you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those things that you can do with a photo. It's one of those effects that you can put on that kind of makes the middle of your face swirl.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know that picture that I'm talking about?
I saw a picture of that guy yesterday, and I had no idea who he was.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, my God.
That's masturbates in the window and then burns the mother down.
I thought maybe someone... Oh, wow. Nope.
It looks like a Photoshop. His eyes are completely uneven. His nose is like at the wrong angle. He's got something else under his nose I can't tell. His mouth is like pushed up into the front of his face. I mean, it's just the craziest photo you've ever seen. And he really is maybe the greatest citizen of the great state of Florida, and that's saying something.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the king of Florida right now.
He may be the king of Florida.
Yeah.
I just, like I said, you can see why I couldn't wait.
Well,
can't sit on that guy.
No question. You wouldn't want to sit on that guy. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Could someone who's not me please deal with that?
Dr. Drew will be on the show.
Nope.
Dr. Drew's not going to be on the show.
All right,
shoot, I thought I got the other changes.
To him.
That's so funny.
Kevin's got to start coming to the meetings.
Are we still doing the... never mind. Are we still doing Pia Toscano?
That's happening. Yes, we are. And I mean, we're doing Pia Toscano.
Take it easy.
She's coming in on the show, I mean. We're doing it as a guest.
Right. Okay, good. The president...
We were just talking about her, by the way. I know it sounds random, but Kevin and Ralph were at the Kings game on Saturday where she was singing the national anthem, and it got us reminiscing about how much we love her, former American Idol contestant. And sure enough, she's her people heard, and I guess, and she's playing somewhere tonight. So it just worked out, it dovetailed beautifully, so she's going to come in and spend some time with us.
So we said, all right, you know, if you have to, sure. Simon Pegg will be on the show today.
Love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Love him, too. He's in a new movie that's it looks pretty honked up, but it looks great. A Fantastic Fear of Everything is the name of it. And we also have your chance to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2014 Destination Number 1, Arcade Fire in Rome. So keep listening for your chance for that. And the president of BYU is in the news. He's got some theories, that boy.
Okay.
He's got some theories that might blow you away. As a matter of fact, I would guess they would. He should be roommates with the guy from Florida with the face. So we'll get to that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that Subway has announced they are removing the chemical in its bread that's also used in yoga mats and shoe rubber. I was glad to hear that this morning. You know what? Now I know why Jared lost all that weight. He's all clogged up with rubber.
He's eating rubber.
That's right. If I ate rubber all the time, I guess I'd be thin too.
What does that do for them, for the bread? What is it? How does it help?
I'm not kidding. They say it makes it more pliable and elastic. It keeps it soft.
Hmm. Wow.
That seems like a thing you should know about.
Yeah, you would think.
It's not on the menu, I'll tell you that.
It's not the choices they give you. We have Parmesan garlic, we have wheat, we have white, or we have the rubber bread. They don't give you that option.
That isn't good for you.
This chemical has been outlawed in Europe and Australia. It's banned.
Okay.
The World Health Organization links it to respiratory ailments and asthma. But it's still legal here in the States.
Well, the good thing is we don't go there often.
USA! USA!
So they have decided they will now remove that chemical from their dough. So
now, Kevin jokes because, and this is not a joke, the guys get Subway. Am I lying if I say 5 days of every week?
Well, with some exceptions. No, you're not.
Pretty close.
That's pretty accurate.
Pretty close. That's the breakfast run.
It's the go-to. I mean, it's the closest place with good food.
Yeah.
So the guys eat there almost every single day. So it's a miracle you're still alive.
Yeah. I need my rubber.
Maybe that's why Lisa's coughing up a lung all the time.
I don't actually eat that.
Well,
but I'm around
along,
it.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
Doing a bit.
I'm sure that's why.
Yeah, that's it.
That's crazy.
But I heard the news this morning. I was like, that's nuts. You never know what you're eating, do you?
No. No, you don't.
Like,
you figure that's safe. The staff of life, right. Bread. It's the most basic food of mankind.
It does seem hard to screw up bread.
Well, they don't screw it up. I guess it makes it better, but there's, you know, a price to pay. Thank God there's this woman called the Food Babe.
Wow.
I haven't seen her picture, so I reserve judgment on her media tag. But she's a food blogger, and she actually launched an online petition asking Subway to remove this chemical. And they have said now that they're going to comply, and they're going to take it out of their bread. So, no more rubber bread for us. So that's good news. Now you're looking to the meat. Who knows what?
It's always been my feeling.
Turkey's actually penguin or something. Who knows?
The bread's the safest part.
What's going on?
Soylent Green, Ralph. Soylent Green.
It's people. All right, let's talk about show business news. This was a surprise. Selena Gomez in rehab. Singer, actress, and Bieber's on-and-off-again girlfriend secretly checked into The Dawn at the Meadows. Oh, that sounds nice.
That does sound beautiful and fun.
That's her new film? What's that? What are we talking about?
Her new film.
The Dawn at the Meadows sounds like a new movie, doesn't it?
It does, actually. No, this is a rehab center in Wickenburg, Arizona. Familiar with Wickenburg, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Middle of nowhere.
Popular rehab station for the rich and famous, which means we couldn't afford it. She started her rehab on January the 5th, just weeks after she canceled her Australian tour and just days before she was seen hanging out with Bieber. Spokesman says that the checking was voluntary and not for substance abuse. Well, why would you go into a rehab for substance abuse? We didn't think that at all.
Huh. What was it for?
Well, her reps aren't saying.
Oh. Get away from Bieber?
Look, wouldn't be the craziest thing anybody ever did.
Yeah.
Several news outlets, of course, aren't buying that story. Star Magazine, for example, says they have sources saying that Selena was heavily into the drug Molly and also enjoyed prescription drugs like Xanax and Ambien. Radar Online said her friends and family were increasingly worried there was a serious drug problem with Selena. And TMZ, meanwhile, says Selena is blaming Bieber for her predicament. So he was a bad influence.
I was just kidding. Hmm.
By the way, Bean mentioned this yesterday. We were talking about Bieber and how he was waylaid at Teterboro there in Jersey when he flew in for the Super Bowl because
right.
He's got a couple felony charges against him and he was flying in from out of the country. And it has been confirmed that Bean was right. The pilots who were flying Bieber's private plane said there was so much marijuana smoke that they had to wear oxygen masks. And I never thought about this, not only because you don't want to get high while you're flying a plane.
Right.
But those guys are randomly drug tested, too.
Oh,
can you imagine if you're the victim of secondhand smoke because of Bieber's douchebag posse, and then you pull up positive, and then they pull your ticket? That would be bad.
So yeah, you can't make a living because of your passenger, right?
The report also claims that Bieber and his father were extremely abusive to the flight attendant.
What a surprise.
Flight attendant claims she spent most of the flight near the pilots because she was afraid of the Beavers and other passengers.
Wow.
What level of douchebaggery is it where she's literally scared to...
Scared of you.
...to deal with the passengers on her own flight?
Grade A douche.
That's true.
Boy. This is my favorite story, though, however, related to the Bieber. Last week... No, this is according to PrezHilton.com, so take it for what it's worth. But sources say Bieber was desperately trying to locate a private pool in Manhattan last weekend because he wanted to have a baptism that would be conducted by the help of New York City's Hillsong Church. They claimed they would help him find peace, and he could help his life if he would get baptized by this church. And they were looking for a pool so they could baptize Bieber. And cleanse him of his sins.
Okay.
And he was on board with this. He was looking for a pool, yes. Here's an idea. Just stop being a dick.
Yeah, I don't know if he's capable of that.
But you know that dipping him in a pool isn't going to help either.
Oh, I agree.
This is like magic. It's like somebody believing in get me some chicken bones and I'm going to be able to work some voodoo on you.
Yeah.
That if I dip myself in the pool and I go with this church, then all my sins will be washed away and I won't have these problems anymore. Just stop the behavior. Anyway.
He's good for about a story a day, isn't he?
At least.
That's crazy.
It's a never-ending story. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Crystal Reed. She's Allison from Teen Wolf. She's lovely. 28 years old today. Speaking of lovely, actress Alice Eve. You may have seen her in the most recent Star Trek movie.
Who was she?
She was Kirk's love interest. She was the one in her underwear.
Oh,
in that
yes.
big famous scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's
yes.
beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's 31. TV show host and friend of the show, Allison Haislip, celebrates her 32nd birthday. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 52 years old today. Kathy DeJimmy is 57. Robert Townsend, also 57. Tom Brokaw, legendary newsman, is 73. Rip Torn's 83. How's Rip Torn still with us? God love him. I mean, I wish him a long, long, long life, but that guy just brutalizes himself with booze and mania.
Yeah.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, speaking of how she's still with us, 97 years old today. And Rick Astley!
What are you saying?
Oh, I'm just saying I wonder what's in his fridge, or whatever it is you guys used to do back in the day.
All we did was, what's up with Rick Astley?
What's up with Rick Astley? That's what I meant to say.
God, if we could find that tape, I would love to hear that tape.
Oh, it'd be so good.
We all would. We'd all love to hear the magic.
He told us that he was so wealthy he never had to work another day in his life, is what he told us. We were all shocked by that.
I hope that's the case, because he's 48 years old today, and I'm pretty sure I saw him checking me out at the CVS drugstore.
Is that right?
Yeah, when I was picking up some water. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You guys aren't going to believe this video. It's from Brigham Young University. That's where they, that's the Mormon college, right? It's a very religious-based school.
Very.
The president of Brigham Young is Kim Clark, and he has put out a video now that I guess they show to all the people who go to that college there. Let me play a little bit of the setup here, and then we'll tell you what he's talking about, because it sounds very dire. It sounds very desperate, and I frankly am scared.
The temptations of the Great War are many. The battles are real, and the strategies are clever. The enemy is cruel, ruthless, and relentless. We must not underestimate the danger.
Is he talking about
must be vigilant and valiant.
Yes, Kevin, you were saying.
The Taliban?
It sure sounds like we're getting into some Taliban, we're getting into some Al-Qaeda, maybe we're getting into some communism. I don't know what we're getting into, but it sounds like a great war, and those are all excellent guesses, because you put that kind of music together with that kind of rhetoric.
Right.
And clearly it's a fight for the very survival of America, right?
Of course.
Or he's talking about trying to talk BYU students out of masturbating. Or the Great War is the fight to not touch yourself.
No.
What? Yes.
Come on.
That is what the equivalent of war is touching yourself. He goes on to talk about what a struggle it is for the young men and women of the school.
A lonely, confused young man gets addicted to pornography. His roommates know, but they do nothing to help him.
Now, in the video, they show a guy who's sitting at a computer, and he's looking at something on a screen that's of interest to him. But he's got his door open, which already screams BS to me. And his roommate starts to walk into the room and sees that the guy's there in front of his computer and just backs out of the room, doesn't say anything. And that's where the president is coming down on the roommate, saying, hey, you got to help your brother. You're leaving your brother on the battlefield.
Wait.
If you don't say to him, close that browser, get off of Pornhub and come out here and read the Bible with me.
I, as a fellow student, am supposed to stop him from looking at porn?
Yes.
Will you tackle him?
100%, Kevin, it is your – if you do not talk your roommate out of touching himself, then you are leaving a brother on the battlefield.
That is not real.
He stops going to church, and there is darkness in his eyes.
Listen to the music.
The young man is spiritually wounded on the battlefield of the Great War.
Uh-oh. Okay, now we're into video where they actually show the people who are playing the actors at the college. They actually show them in military garb on a battlefield. So you're actually literally seeing the guy who previously was in front of his computer screen in his dorm room.
Right.
Now you're seeing him dressed as a soldier laying on the battlefield just waiting for anyone to come and save him. And you hear all the gunfire and the bombs going off all around him. Because it's a great war, you guys.
In our modern society, the enemy has spread fear of getting involved when someone's in trouble.
Listen to the battlefield.
Unbelievable.
The trumpets.
And has fostered a social stigma against people who speak up in the face of evil.
Lisa, what is the what's the downside of masturbation if you're a college student? It seems like if you're at BYU and they're trying to keep you from having sex with members of the opposite sex, that maybe masturbation is kind of the way to take that edge off.
Well, if you are biblically oriented, then masturbation is wrong.
But they haven't.
Why?
I mean, technically, Catholics believe it's wrong as well. They don't understand that your head is going to pop off if you don't, but... I guess that's the price you pay.
Lisa, it's the great battlefield.
It is the great battlefield. Look, I know that there are people who accept the Bible as the word of God and they believe every word that's in it. But in realistic terms, who is the victim if the college student is masturbating?
Your penis.
The college student, because he's got darkness in his eyes.
He does have darkness in his eyes. That's
the enemy whispers, don't get involved. It's not your problem. Don't tell. You'll be a tattletale.
Can you imagine trying to talk your roommate out of masturbating?
Oh, brothers and sisters, don't leave the wounded on the battlefield.
That's the takeaway from
that
today's show.
That is not a real thing.
Don't leave the wounded on the battlefield is the takeaway here today. So... that happened.
That's the president of BYU.
Yes, that's Kim Clark. Exactly, yes.
Don't they have to sign something when they go there that they're not going to do that?
They can't do that. They can't have
sex or drink or smoke.
They can't have caffeine. I mean, right. It's crazy, crazy.
They'll throw
strict.
You out.
But I'm the guy that's going to hell because I'm not stopping my partner from doing that?
Yes.
Is he your partner?
No, I mean my roommate.
That's why you're going to hell.
That's correct, yeah, that's
Queens of the Stone Age on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:38.
Who would win in a fight between Kings of the Stone Age and Queens of the... however that went.
You can't do a parody of yourself. You can't do your own voice.
He was doing a parody of me. Yes. So I was doing a parody of him doing a parody of me, and then I screwed it up. Hey, how about those Olympics, huh?
Huh? You know, about that?
The competition has already begun, right? You know, there's already sporting events going on, even though the opening ceremonies haven't even happened yet.
I thought it was just like qualifying and stuff.
Well, yes, qualifying.
I looked at the schedule, yeah. They were already doing like snowboarding and there's some ice skating, right?
Huh. Because they got the first medals are actually going to be awarded on Saturday. So there's all sorts of qualifying leading up to that.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's up and running in Russia and it's not going great for a lot of people that are there so far. We are hearing horror stories, and it's always a mad rush. Any city that has the Olympics, whether it's Beijing or London or Vancouver, you always hear those stories in the final 2 weeks about how they're trying to get everything nailed down for the influx of, you know, millions
right.
of people who are
and they're not
going to
make it. They're not going to make it. All that yeah. panic talk, but then they always do.
Right. Yeah, they usually do, right? I don't know how it's going to go in Russia because some of the reports from the journalists, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the journalists in Russia who are checking into these hotels, I mean, it just sounds like they're still building these hotels. Some of them don't even have lobbies yet. They don't have curtains on the wall. You know, they don't have clean water. I mean, it sounds like there's some real problems. And we've heard a bunch of other stuff that's going on over there, and we wanted to find out, you know, from somebody on the ground, somebody who knows what's happening. So we asked producer Dave, could you line us up somebody in Russia? And I believe we have the Russian Olympic Committee. I think we've got them on the phone. I'm not sure who we're going to be speaking with, though.
Good morning.
Доброе утро, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. How are you, sir? Who is this?
My name is Boris Vetikov.
Hi, Boris. Well, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here in America. How are the games going so far?
Everything is wonderful here in Sochi. And everyone's very happy, and we're all looking forward to a great Olympics.
What about these pictures that journalists from around the world, not just Americans, are posting of water that looks brown in the hotel rooms?
Yes. for having in there when you drink water, you sometimes say, I don't see anything in this glass. Where is the water? And now we provide for you service so you can see for the water.
Oh, it's
when
just so they can see it.
Yes, the glass is full now. I can tell because water is now brown.
Oh,
because there was a reporter that said somebody at the front desk said, don't even wash your face with that water because it's dangerous.
Well, water is not for face washing, it's for drinking, right?
No, well, I would think,
we use
I would
it for
think
both.
Drinking would go away before face washing.
Well, it's not 100% safe.
Okay,
to put on face, no.
Okay.
But listen, we have much vodka here in Russia. So for drinking, for face washing, for clothes washing, for douching, for to put the hose in the hiney. What is that?
We're not going to talk about that. We don't want to talk about enemas. No.
Enemas. Yes. Yes.
Vodka.
Enemas. We have vodka. So everyone enjoy Russian vodka.
Okay. What about this? And Russia's a first world nation. Why can you not flush toilet? Why can you not flush toilet paper down your toilet? Why do you have to put that in a trash can in the bathroom?
It's ecology for a greener planet.
It sounds like you just made that up.
No. It's for keeping the trees alive. Everyone love trees. Hug trees.
Right. It doesn't say anything. On the sign, it just says, do not flush toilet paper.
Well, it would be very big sign for putting all the information about why you're choosing to do this. But it's for recycling purposes we do this.
Recycling? Does that mean we use the toilet paper again?
Well, after we wash it in brown water, yes.
All right.
For you go for the bathroom, number one is no problem.
Right.
For two, use paper for wiping.
Right.
And then there is a tin receptacle next to the toilet for putting in the air.
Right, that seems nasty after a while.
Yeah, it does.
So
nobody wants that.
It's poo, and then you put the tin. We call it the poo tin.
I like it. I'm sure your president is very, very happy with that. All right, what about this? There's some concern about the reports of killing all the dogs in Sochi. There's quite a stray dog problem, and part of what the authorities are trying to do is round up all of those dogs and not give them away to good homes, but to actually put them down if they're unfortunate enough to be on the street. Is that true?
This is many reports widely,
inaccurate?
Exaggerate, yes.
Okay.
Exaggerate of stories of, we have dog catchers in Russia like you have in America, I'm sure.
Right.
And it's for the problem, maybe wild dog population, it must be controlled.
Right.
And so there is a program to remove dogs from street,
right,
from hotel rooms, from
hotel rooms,
train stations, from shops, from restaurants. They're everywhere, pretty much crazy dogs. And so we must have a program in place to keeping, not have the roaming streets.
Is a weapon a part of that, including a gun?
Well, weapon.
Gun?
How do you define weapon?
I'm saying gun.
Gun.
How about just gun?
Gun. How do you define gun?
Something that shoots bullets and kills the dog.
Hold on 1 second, please. Okay,
Why did you do that?
I'm talking for you on phone. What's the matter with you?
You said, hold on, and we heard a gunshot, and it sounded like a dog dying.
Listen, whatever your imagination in your head is not my concern. I have only for talking to you and taking care of business. It's a small ministry here we have to have. Take that, son of a bitch.
That sounds terrible.
I was eating my breakfast. What do you want from that?
Not to shoot it.
Okay, fine. We'll give the dogs the brown water. Then you'll see what you like then,
okay. All right.
This is humane, at least, for putting bullet in the head. Because we could be washing the dogs' faces with water. Then you really see agony.
that's a tough country right there.
Okay. 3 for 3.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 6:53.
Arctic Monkeys, M83, and Bastille all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show's Simon Pegg next hour. And we're going to be looking for you if you've ever attempted to break a world record. We'll explain coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Sorry, Bastille just makes me slap immediately into my flawless French accent. It's interesting that we're having Pia Toscano later on today.
Yes.
As you know, I adore her.
Right.
And I was thinking, as we talked about her yesterday, I believe that was the last season I watched of American Idol when she was participating.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
How many years ago? How many, not years, but seasons?
It's got to be
She was season 10, so whatever we're up to now.
I don't know. I don't know what we're up to. Anyway, but last night it was on.
Okay.
And so I'm flipping around, and I said, American Idol.
Give it another try.
Harry Connick Jr., Keith Urban, Jennifer Lopez, good batch of judges.
Right.
I heard they made some changes. Let me tune in and see what's going on. Unwatchable.
Really?
How come? Why now? It was always unwatchable for me.
I know. It's just deadly dull, and the contestants are just... everybody sounds like everybody else. There's just nothing going on there. Maybe we've just been, numbed by so many singing competition shows that we've seen the same shtick over and over and over again. But it just, I don't give a rat's ass about any of this. I'm not impressed by anybody. I'm not interested in any of this. And they're trying to sex it up by doing different stuff. So they bring everybody into an airplane hangar. And they make there's like 200 people there. They make 50 of them sing again because they're on the fence about them. And they say, okay, you people, you're going to get into bus number one. And you people, you're going to get into bus number two.
What?
One of the buses is going back to the hotel in Hollywood. The other bus is going right to the airport. But you won't know which one you're going to until you get there. So, and then they got long, long shots of people sitting on a bus looking out the window waiting to see whether they see LAX or they see a hotel. And I was like, really? This is what you think is going to fix your problems? Making a game within a game? Or what bus am I on?
Well, you know, Seacrest likes to complicate everything he touches.
That's right.
Like, wow.
Then he put some of them inside an hourglass in Times Square and made them answer questions. I really couldn't comprehend it. But I watched for about 15 minutes and I was like, I'm out.
Not missing it.
Not missing a thing.
Good news.
I haven't watched a second of this season, Ralph, but I'm totally with you in that very rarely does a Pia come along or an Adam Lambert or somebody like that who kind of really breaks through. Everybody else just seems to just all be one person, you know? They're just all so the same.
It's like, well, the thing is they lowered the age. I think like 15-year-olds now can compete.
Okay.
And it's as if they're all doing impressions of somebody else they saw on American Idol. It all seems like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox at this point.
Right.
Yeah, we don't need a new Jordan Sparks.
Yeah, and they all have the same gestures and the same runs, and they all do the same sort of over-dramatic singing, and it all seems so fake and so put on. It's like they're doing an impression of something rather than just singing and offering whatever it is that they have to offer.
Right.
I mean, I saw a couple of them last night. There's a few people that... singer-songwriters, guys you could tell had guitars and stuff who were actually, you know, had something to say and were, you hesitate to use the word artist when someone's 15.
I had some talent.
But they had something going for them that was a little bit unique, but they were few and far between.
Wow.
Certainly not enough to keep my attention. So I think they're in trouble over there in America. I think they'll only get 27 billion people watching a week instead of the 32 billion they used to have. All right, let's talk about show business news. Congratulations to Pharrell Williams. He was named this week Hat Person of the Year.
Yeah, that is not
February.
A thing.
Yep.
It's only February.
Well, look, it's a landslide victory.
Wait, I don't want to argue over whether it's February or not. This thing exists. Category exists.
Oh, of course, it's a coveted award, Kevin, given by the Headwear Association.
The Hat Person
hat
of the
person
Year.
Hat Person of the Year. His giant. Shotgun Tom Kelly hat made him Hat Person of the Year. So congratulations.
So how upset is Carl from The Walking Dead?
Oh, he must be so upset. Yeah.
This is really going to open up some avenues for Pharrell.
Pharrell beat out Anne Hathaway and Al Roker for the honors. Oh, Roker must be pissed. I didn't realize this, but Pharrell has a long history of notable headwear.
Oh, is that right?
According to the Headwear Association. His collection includes a fur trapper hat, fedoras, pork pies, snapbacks, panamas, military caps, and trucker hats.
Love it.
Previous hat person of the year honorees were Duchess Kate Middleton, Johnny Depp, and Kate Moss. So he's in good company. Oh, Roker must be miserable. He must be inconsolable this morning. He lost out on
hat. I bet he pooped his pants when he heard the news.
I pooped my pants. Dave the King Mexico couldn't be happier in the other room.
Why?
They just announced a sequel to Drumline.
Oh, no.
Freaking Dave. That was a good movie. No, it wasn't. Halftime is showtime. No, it's not. Shut up.
Halftime is showtime.
Sadly for David, it will be a television movie called Drumline, A New Beat. And it will air on VH1 sometime this fall. Good news is that Nick Cannon will be returning to the cast.
Wow.
Of course, he was in the original.
There's so much wrong with what you just said.
Yeah. Nick Cannon says in his quote, "Even though Drumline was released over a decade ago, I am constantly approached by people on the street who tell me how much of an impact it made on their lives."
Nope.
Stop it.
That's just not true.
Just stop it. Nick Cannon, Drumline. Everything about this story is bad. And did you wonder why a star of the caliber of Bob Dylan would be doing a Chrysler commercial during
yes,
the Super Bowl?
I did.
Well, I have your answer.
I don't think he knows.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, okay.
$5 million.
Wow.
Wow. Is what Bob got for 30 seconds of talking about a car. That was his payday. $5 million. That
okay.
would make even the most serious artist, I think, rearrange their priorities for a commercial.
How about that?
Yeah, that's what he got paid for his services.
Let me ask you guys, first of all, well done, Bob. But second of all, let me ask you guys this. Do you think any less of any celebrity who does an endorsement?
Does it
bother you in 2014 that somebody does a commercial?
Sometimes it depends on the product, though.
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Because I'm used to it. But you don't usually see a star the size of Bob Dylan in America.
I think it matters more to me someone who has had a long-standing...
Protesting and...
Yeah, a long-standing sort of adversarial relationship with commercialism and with advertising and with the corporate world. It does suck a little of their street cred out.
Are you using Dylan as an example of that? Of somebody who upsets you off?
Because I mean, like when the Stones started doing commercial, I guess they did one for Pepsi or something or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, oh, really?
And they don't need the money.
They don't need
God's
the money.
Sakes.
Maybe Dylan does. I don't know. Yeah. But the Stones.
No, he doesn't at all. But
Stones
but
certainly don't. And it just smacks of sellout to me.
Yeah, why they do
and
it?
Certain artists. I think it does less in my opinion of them.
But I just wonder, I mean, who are we to accuse anyone of selling out? I mean, they have a right to make a living and take advantage of the opportunities that are provided to them. What is it to us?
Make a living. Yeah, well, geez, I hope now he can pay the rent on his one-room flat in Soho, Beat. You're right. Gosh, I hope Bob made a living.
But look, we're not the ones. I don't think we're the ones who have the right to put a cap on what anyone else is able to earn. I don't think it's up to us. I mean, the people who are getting upset over people doing commercials, I don't think it's up for us to go, well, you have enough money. You don't need that other $5 million, so you shouldn't have done that ad. That's his choice.
But I'm saying if you've made a career out of saying down with the man, up with people, corporations are evil, you know, the poor are being trod upon, the proletariat, the working class, if that's your angle, if that's your shtick, you definitely turn down the volume on that message when you do a ad for Chrysler.
And then Chrysler says $5 million. He goes, I'm sorry, was I saying?
Up with corporations. Yes, down with the poor.
Dylan has also famously from the beginning, though, Ralph, and you know this, said, I am not the voice of a generation. I am not a role model. Do not look at me. Do not do what I do.
That's good advice.
I'm just over here doing my own thing. Commercials open.
He said that, and then he did the other. So, you know, are you going to take the man at his body of work? Or are you going to take, you know, it's like that I am not a role model thing that, you know, athletes say or whatever.
Right.
Like, no matter how much you say it, doesn't make it not so. Either you can be realistic about your place in the public eye, or you can just deny it and think by saying, I'm not a role model, then somehow a switch gets thrown and suddenly you're not a role model anymore. Because Dylan obviously was a role model for a generation. And for him just to deny it and say, I'm not, doesn't make it go away. doesn't change the reality.
We haven't talked about the fact that he looked terrible.
No, he looked great.
What a crazy old woman.
He looked like a nice, he looked like Vincent Price after he died after about 5 years.
Don't be the 1%, man. Yeah. Be the 99.
See, if Omar, if Beer Mug did a commercial,
Omar's going to beat the hell out of you for that.
It would ruin my the street cred with me.
That's right.
Because Beer Mug has long been a
it's true. Know, he's above the fray.
A crusader for social justice and for the poverty stricken.
Where's the outrage there?
Yes,
you got to give it up for Chrysler though, because to get Dylan to also get Clint Eastwood, who doesn't do many ads, to get Eminem, who doesn't do very many ads. I mean, I think those artists, they may be responding to, hey, this will help Detroit and help America too. That may be part of it.
Or they may be responding for $5 million.
$5 million.
Sure. That might be more of a response. Too. That bugged me too when Eastwood did that commercial.
Did it?
Yeah. I guess we live in a different era now where everybody sells out all the time for everything, so you feel it less with modern, current celebrities.
Right.
But when someone has a long-standing career and they haven't crossed that line, and then they finally do, it smacks a little bit of, oh, they just gave up. You know, if I saw Nicholson selling coke or something tomorrow, that would make me sad.
It would, all right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't care, but...
And how about the celebrities who take the huge paychecks for the ads that don't run in America, because that way they won't get painted with it, yet they still get the money? How about those guys? Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Well, I just think that's smart.
Yeah, because that way they are having their cake and eating it, too. They're not ruining the American perception of whatever they may be, and they're also getting the big payday. It didn't bother me like Schwarzenegger was playing ping pong with that dude in the Bud Light commercial.
That didn't
bother me at all.
Right.
Because he's a joke and no one really cares what he stands for.
Yeah!
But a Beer Mug.
That's hot!
If he was playing ping pong with a guy, I would be sad. Because
he would never sell out the
No. He's like the Tom Morello of eaters. Like a man that takes a stand and uses his career for positivity.
Fantastic. Dude, that is awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Zsa Zsa Gabor is 97 years old today.
She's still alive.
She's still hanging in there.
Oh my God!
I think you can put her in a shoebox now, but she's still around. Rip Torrens, 83. Legendary TV newsman Ta Brokaw, 73 years old today. Have you heard his radio spots he does now? This American Story or whatever?
No.
Some syndicated radio.
He hasn't been able to. He's the me of TV.
Well, the words are correct, but the way he says them just can't be understood. Robert Townsend's 57. Kathy and Jimmy is also 57. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 52. Allison Hayslip is 32 years old today. Actress Alice Eve, most recently, I guess we saw her in Star Trek, the second one. 31 years old. Crystal Reed, Allison from Teen Wolf, is 28. And Rick Astley! What's up with Rick Astley?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I thought Kevin and Bean knew. They had pretty close ties with Rick Astley for a while.
I don't know that he's ever been as excited as he was about that bit.
That was a big day for us to get Rick Astley on the phone.
Whenever it was. He was so happy.
Can we put in a request for DJ Omar Khan to give us a little Rick Astley for next hour, please, Ralph?
I'm not getting Rick rolled here, for God's sake.
Yeah, seriously. What does it take?
He's 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Simon Pegg, later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday, and Pia Toscano joins us just after the top of the hour as well. Hi, Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
What up?
Every once in a while, we are reminded that Dave should be in the Guinness Book of World Records, but is not. Two separate times, he has attempted and broken a world record.
By the way,
neither time was shattered.
Yeah. Destroyed.
Yeah. Legitimately.
Yeah. Neither time was it accredited properly. And what is it you did for folks who weren't with us back then, Dave?
Well, the first time I did 100 hours of continuous TV watching.
And the record was 70?
Was like 80 or something, 82. And the second time...
But we didn't get credit for that because we didn't do it according to the rules.
Yes. Okay. Once again, you know, K-Rock and paperwork do not match up.
So then we went back and tried again.
So we did it again, and this time we said, all right, you know what, we're going to do it correctly. We hired all these people to, you know, do the paperwork. We had a nurse watching me. We did everything that was needed. Yeah, messed up the paperwork
messed
again.
Up the paperwork.
92 hours I did that time. 92 hours.
So what is the current world record for watching TV that's in the Guinness Book if people were to go there and look?
I think it's like 81 or something like that.
So you still did more than the record. Even now, years later, your record still holds.
It would have. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It would have helped.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're talking about world records because Paramore,
yeah,
who's Dave's favorite band of all time, by the way, has a new music video out for their song called Ain't It Fun. And they did a very clever thing where they decided to break as many world records as they could. So I think they have 9 record-setting attempts that are in this video. They're all kind of made-up world records.
They're
though.
Nonsense. I mean,
they're legit.
They're not running the fastest anyone's ever run or anything like that. I mean, they're doing things like unwrapping a mummy. I mean, how aren't you just making up a category to try to set a record in that case?
We're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067 if you tried and or set a world record in anything. Here are the records that they set in this video. The fastest time for 3 people to smash 30 clocks with guitars.
Ugh. Man,
not a record.
Tough.
Not
well,
a category.
Fun to watch. Fun to watch, but not a category. Absolutely.
Fastest
not a category.
Time for 3 people to run through 10 paper banners. Fastest time to run backwards, holding stuffed animals while blindfolded for 30 feet.
That's huge in Nashville, by the way.
Shut up, dude. Most feathers caught in 30 seconds. Fastest
what
time.
What is that?
No, that's tough. Have you tried it?
Fastest time to unwrap a mummy. Longest scream while rising in a convertible.
Righty.
Oh, it says rising. Longest time spinning vinyl record on finger. I mean, what? These aren't records. Shouldn't they be categories of things that other people have actually done?
Yes. Yes, they should. They should be hours on a pogo stick or the most most balls you sink playing pool. I mean, it should
or
be
watching TV.
Or most, watching TV.
Most cartwheels in 20 seconds while wearing boots.
You got to break that one, Kevin.
That's just not a deal. That's just not a thing. It's not a category.
Now, do you guys think, as we open up the phone lines here, 1-800-520-1067, do you guys think that a lot of our listeners have attempted to break a record at one point in their life? I'm not saying most or many,
I'd
but
say
I'm saying a
plenty,
lot.
Yeah.
You think there are going to be enough people out there who are going to call, who are going to go, yeah, I tried to fill in the blank, do the thing?
Sure.
I think so. I think there could be like – there's sites like this who will try to eat the most Oreos at one time, you know. And like, look, we had Muggs try all these food records.
That oh, that's work. Right. Those that were the world out. Records.
Yeah, those were world records. Like when he tried
those
to
were in the book. That's right. Yeah,
to drink the Tabasco sauce in the fastest time, and he was close for that one.
He was not close for any of them.
Yeah,
for that. And there was that housewife just in Philadelphia this week in the news for eating the most chicken wings in 30 minutes. So oh, I mean, yeah. World records are being broken all the time. So we want to hear from you. I don't know what we're going to get, but I'm fascinated to know if you ever tried to break a world record, whether you succeeded or not. Now is your moment to brag about that. Give us a call on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. We're talking about world records. Doesn't look like our listeners are trying very hard to break world records, does it?
Yeah, well, maybe the ones that are that enterprising are still asleep.
Maybe so. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Heather's up first. She's on line one. This is as a response to the Paramore video that just came out for their new song where they break 9 world records. And we thought, wow, lots of people trying to break records. Let's talk to some of them. Heather, it sounds like you've been part of that.
Yes, I have. I go to UC Irvine, and every year during our welcome week in September, we break a world record.
Okay.
So, no kidding.
It, every single year, that's the deal,
every
huh?
Every single year.
Okay.
In the 2 years that I've been there, we broke the world record for the world's largest dodgeball game. And that's the one we usually do every year, but nobody tried to beat us. So this year we did the world's largest water fight.
Wait a minute. If you don't mind my saying, is it really a record worth having if nobody wants to challenge it? Or maybe you
well,
were just too good.
People used to challenge our dodgeball one, and we would have to beat it every year. But nobody challenged it last year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Your school sounds like a super fun school to go to.
Yes, it is. It's very fun.
How many people were in your dodgeball game?
Do you know what? I don't know the exact number, but...
It's a world record! It sort of matters.
I don't remember. That was last right. year. It was at least over 5,000 people.
Wow. Now, do you go to the extra trouble that tripped us up when Dave was trying to get into the Guinness Book of having those people kind of officiate the thing and be there on site to watch it and make sure it's all official? Did you do any of that?
Yeah, we have a person from the Guinness Book of World Records come every year and they watch it.
We tried it twice. We couldn't get that down.
Yeah, exactly. We should hire you, Heather, to run our business next time we want to go for a record. All right. Fantastic call. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, Raunchy Genius writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Excuse me, Kevin and Bean Twitter. Unfortunately, I remember when Ralph Garman on your show tried to break the masturbation record. Remember when we did that?
Oh, that the number of times in one day?
Yes. And we talked to Ralph, and he was so sad and so sore by around 8:30 a.m. He was like, what am I doing? All right, let's go to Stacy real quick. She's on line two.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning,
I love you guys.
Did you break a record, or did you just try?
It was a pitiful attempt. We actually tried breaking the record for the longest country line dance.
Country line dancing?
Most people are longest time dancing.
Most people.
Okay.
Okay. So all right. How many people?
Well, it backfired because, it was a rainy day, so no one showed up. But we actually had an airport hangar in Burbank that we used. The mayor was there. The officials were there. And then no one showed.
Oh, no.
I know this is a few years back that line dancing was popular, but were you doing it to Achy Breaky Heart?
Oh, my God. This is, first of all, it was my mom's idea, and yes, she loved that song.
Oh, my God. That's why no one showed up.
Basically. And since, you know, even though no one showed up, I still had to stay there with my mom for another 3 hours. It was the longest day ever.
Wow. Yeah, that's sad.
How about a record for two people line dancing for the longest amount of time?
How about just a guy listening to Achy Breaky Heart? How about a record for that? All right, thank you.
The senior citizen community showed up, so there were about 50 senior citizens there. It was awesome.
They can't line dance.
Hilarious. Thank you, Stacy. We appreciate the call. Hey, Beer Mug, why don't you do your job and put a time up on the screen for me, too? Let's go to Anita, please. She's on line six. Let's see what she's got going on with the world record.
You're cute how you expect him to do his work.
Hey. I just thought he might be paying attention to the goddamn show.
Take it easy. Hey, Anita.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Bean's losing it. What's going on? What record did you try and break?
We braided a link of flowers, you know, the one you have around your head that's a little decoration.
Right.
But we made it into one long link that was more than 300 yards long, and we got in the World Book of Records, the Guinness
300 book. Yards of braided flowers? That's crazy.
Well, we were kids, and we had fun, and it was through our school. But this was back in 84.
Wow. You please tell me you're Swedish, Anita.
And Norwegian.
Oh, I couldn't love you any more than I do right
easy.
Now. I couldn't love you any more than I do right now.
Easy.
I want all of our listeners to be what Anita is in my mind right now. Okay. Thank you, my dear world record setter. We appreciate the call. Let's do one more. Let's go to Christy. She's up next. She's on line five talking breaking world records. Hi, Christy.
Hi, I readily admit this is kind of lame, but kind of awesome at the same time. I am part of the 2011 Reddit Secret Santa Gift Exchange, and it is a world record holder, and there was thousands and thousands of people that participated throughout the world.
So for Reddit, they just put it online, and then you guys, what did you mail a gift somewhere?
Yes, you sign up, and you are matched with somebody throughout the world, and you kind of, through their Reddit page, you can kind of snoop and find out about them, and then you send them a gift that hopefully they like. And it actually was really cool. I really enjoyed the experience.
What a bogus record, though. That's not
bizarre.
That's not a record.
Really is just, that's really just spreading holiday cheer and giving readers of Reddit a chance to do something warm and fuzzy for Christmas.
Holiday cheer.
World record holiday cheer. Sorry. Our bad.
How many people participated in the Secret Santa program?
I don't remember, but it was a few thousand. It was a lot.
It's no senior citizen line dancing to Achy Breaky Heart, I'll tell you that. But nice effort anyway, Christy.
Fun.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
A Fantastic Fear of Everything is the movie opening tomorrow at the Lemley in North Hollywood, also available through VOD and iTunes. It stars Simon Pegg, who I'm a little bit worried about, Kevin. I got to be honest. I've got some fears about Simon Pegg and his safety. He tweeted a photo. Yes. Well, I saw this photo that you tweeted a few minutes ago. It looks like you have a room full of wild dogs that are waiting to eat you, Simon. What's happening at your home?
I like to recreate Liam Neeson's film, The Grey, whenever I can.
Good. Indoors.
Fight small dogs indoors, yeah.
Now, Simon, how many dogs do you have in that house? What kind of a shelter are you running?
One of those dogs is my mother's, who's come to stay, and the other two are mine. So there's three in all. Although I did see one on the internet the other day I wanted to go and get. I don't think you can have enough, really, can you?
I think you can. I think you can have too many, as a matter of fact.
If it's cats, you've got to worry. If it's cats, you're probably an old lady living in a large house.
Right. That's one problem, but a lot of dogs is another issue.
Simon, do you ever think about this? Because I do. I just have two, but I think about this. If you were to die...
You know that your own dogs would eat your flesh, right? It's not like they look at you and go, oh, he's our owner. We love him. We're not going to touch him. You know that they literally would eat you if you died, right?
It's a mark of respect, though. You've got to look at it from the dog's point of view. That's what they'll be thinking as they chow down on my neck.
Sure. This photo, though, it looks like they're either ready to pounce or trying to figure out some way to booby trap your house. It's sinister.
You know what cupboard love is? When dogs often will sort of express themselves slightly more affectionately if you're carrying food. And I happen to be eating a peanut butter sandwich.
There you go. The old peanut butter trick. We've heard about that with Simon.
You should feed your dogs. Bird.
You know that movie when they just congregate? It was like that. I expected to see more of them.
All right, Simon Pegg is our guest. I have watched the trailer for A Fantastic Fear of Everything 5-6 times. And I don't... What's... You're a children's author and then a crime novelist, and then you're in a laundromat and people are trying to kill you.
And there's an evil hedgehog.
There's an animated hedgehog. It's a wonderful, strange film about. It's basically based on a short story by a guy called Bruce Robinson, who directed and wrote an amazing British film called With Nail and I, which is one of the great drunk movies of all time.
Okay.
And he wrote this short story called Paranoia in the Laundrette, which is what we call laundromats here in Northern Europe. And so we kind of, Crispian Mills, the director, and I sort of expanded the story into something longer so we could turn it into a film. And it is about a guy who is frightened of laundromats. And he's writing a series of plays about murder, and he's researching murderers and becomes utterly convinced that he will be murdered and that everyone is a serial killer. And to a greater or lesser degree, he's quite right. So and it's very strange. It's very odd. It's in the great tradition of films like Don't Look Now and, you know, The Omen. And it's a weird little British curiosity, and I'm very proud of it.
When I watched the trailer, I thought, okay, what do I have to go on here? Okay, I don't understand the trailer. It looks weird, and I like that. But
on a very basic level, on a surface level, you get to see me walking around in my slightly graying tighty-whities.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about that.
As a
Brit, as a modest Brit,
yes.
How do you what's it like for you to walk around basically nude on a movie set? I know you're an actor and you put yourself in lots of crazy situations, but I mean, there's a built-in modesty with your people, Simon. Was that tough for you to overcome each day when you went to work?
There's a repression that we have. We're here in the UK, we're a little bit less free with our emotions. We're not inclined to talk about, say, you know, sex or nudity, but by goodness, we do it.
Okay.
And I am very happy strolling around the room in just my pants. I felt free, if I'm honest. I felt like I'd come home. And I now do it all the time. I'm sitting talking to you now in nothing but a
peanut butter. You're just wearing peanut butter right now, yes. I don't want you to think I was looking closely or anything. You're in pretty good shape. Thank you. Yeah, right. You're in pretty good shape. I can see that there probably wouldn't have been embarrassment, for instance, as if I would have taken off my shirt in front of people. But was there any thought at all? Are you the kind of guy who went all Hugh Jackman on it and thought, my God, if I'm really going to be walking around showing this much skin, I've got to work out?
I basically did a lot of yoga. I couldn't Hugh Jackman it because I couldn't look kind of ripped. I mean, he's just a writer. He's like a pasty writer who doesn't eat properly. So I just stripped a lot of fat and kind of tried to look, you know, moderately unhealthy, but not like someone who was dining out well.
That's the actor in you talking, but the person in you has to go, I don't want to look foolish.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And since I did Mission Impossible 4, that was the first film I really got in shape for. And, you know, I had to kind of do like a big old, you know, fight training, all that stuff. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't think if I was offered a part now and they said, oh, you'd have to put on weight. At my age now, I'm 44, I go, no, I don't want to do it because I'm quite happy being thin and I want to try and stay thin for as long as I can.
Just only work with Nick Frost and you'll look great.
Well, exactly. But the thing is with Nick, Nick's got a film coming out. I'm going to the premiere tonight. He's got this film, Cuban Fury, coming out, in which he's playing a salsa dancer. And although Nick's a big guy, he's big in a kind of, in a rugby sense, which is that he's really nimble, but he's huge. You know what I mean? He doesn't look good when he's lost weight.
Right, so right,
he's
right.
He's very light on his feet, Nick.
You mentioned Mission Impossible. I wanted to ask if you're going to be in 5.
I am, yes. I think we're looking to start shooting it later in the year, and I've already been chatting to, you know, everyone involved, and it's I can't wait to get back with that group of people, because it's a hoot making those movies.
As far as I'm concerned, you stole four.
Oh, Blair, don't tell Tom that.
Tom won't talk to us.
This is the voice of Simon Pegg here on the phone. We're talking about his film called A Fantastic Fear of Everything, which is at the Lemley in North Hollywood. That opens tomorrow. You can also see it on iTunes or video on demand. Just real quick before we let you go, because today is a big day for Peggers. I don't know. Yeah. Do your fans have a name? Are they Peggers, Simon?
Pegsters.
Okay. Yeah. The Pegsters are excited because just on the internet today is the trailer for yet another new movie called Hector and the Search for Happiness, which also looks very funny.
Yeah, that's the film I made last year. Fantastic Fear I actually made a couple of years ago, nearly now, because it came out in the UK, and we didn't know if it would get a release in the US, because it's a little indie movie. You know, it's kind of it's tough to get those kind of films released internationally, but thankfully somebody saw it and picked it up. But Hector I shot last year in Vancouver and Shanghai and Tibet and Johannesburg and Germany.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's a sort of globe-trotting, and London, and it's a lovely, with an amazing cast. I mean, a cast that just makes me feel slightly...
Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer, Rosamund Pike, Stellan Skarsgård. I mean, you talk about amazing cast. You don't deserve to be on that cast list.
I don't deserve it. I met John Renaud in it, and he's, you know, in The Professional. And
he's amazing.
My daughter is called Matilda, and when I introduced him to my daughter on set, he said, Matilda, like he does.
Well, you are living the dream right now, my friend, except for the part where the dogs are going to kill and eat you any minute now. Your life is going great, it sounds like.
It's got to be swings and roundabouts. Come on, you got to have some dark with the light.
Do we need to stay on the phone with you, or should we call authorities, or what's happening?
You can call animal control.
Okay.
I'll be grateful.
All right. Okay. Simon is he's on the countertop in his kitchen, just hovering, hoping not to fall into the vat of pups. All right, Simon, we love you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend.
Likewise. I'll speak to you soon, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:54.
Who's better than Simon Pegg, Ralph? Is that guy the best?
He's good. There's a lot of good people, though. It's hard to rank them. Maybe somebody's better than Simon Pegg.
I'll go with you, Bean. He's the best.
He's the best?
We just enjoy having him so much on the show. He's
so
just
better than Weird Al, you're saying, Kevin?
I'm
right?
saying
well,
no he's one, better than Weird Al. Yes, I am.
No, you said who's I'm better saying, than right. Simon Pegg, Bean, so obviously right. you think he's the best.
Weird Al is the best human that ever lived, ever. Well, okay, so Simon Pegg is maybe top five. He may be top five.
You said it. Get it right.
How about we all agree that Pia Toscano is the best human ever, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour in our studio. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
She's right up there, and I'll tell you, I know she was my favorite in season 10 of American Idol by far. I remember...
I loved her on season 10 as well.
I was passionately about that. And Bean, I'm sure, will say he was too when she comes in, but I distinctly remember... That not being the case.
I don't think saying. I was in that season.
You were.
I don't think I was.
You were.
I mean, I don't think I was watching 10.
You were.
Wasn't I? I don't remember.
Because you were either Scotty McCreery, who you loved, that freaking George Bush-looking country, young right. country dude. You loved him. Or you just wanted to massage Paul McDonald. I remember that, too. Oh, he's got such a great personality. Oh, I love him. Oh, I just remember a lot of smack talk.
It's a blur.
When I was on Team Pia. That's
I
all
will
I
be.
Gotta say.
I'm excited that Pia's coming in. I like her very much, but she's your girlfriend, and I'm not going to try to take that away from you.
I want to hear I was all about you when I was watching American Idol because you were Scotty McCreery.
Was I?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yes,
Ralph, you're safe. He's not going to try and take her from you.
Thank God. I'm sure Pia will be very happy to hear that too.
Right. That we're all fighting over
that
her.
She gets me instead of Bean. That will make her day.
That's kind of like being shot versus knifed, really, is what we're talking about here, right?
She's going to come in here. She's like, who are you people? Yeah. Why am I here? I need to... Is Don on the phone? She's going to say... She's going to talk to her management and say, what have you done to me? She is performing locally, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But...
She's in the parking lot, Ralph. She's so close.
Don't be creepy on my behalf, okay?
Right. How am I being... I'm just saying, I thought you'd be excited. We have not had her in. You've been a fan of hers for years.
Right, but
today's a big day.
We don't need a step-by-step update.
We don't need the
just
Buzz Aldrin.
In the front door.
She's in the parking lot. She's in the front door.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
I thought you'd
creepy
be
alert.
Happy to hear that it's happening.
Once again, don't be on my side. As always.
For anything.
For anything. Just don't be creepy on my behalf. It just weeks me out. Tonight's the last Tonight Show for Jay Leno.
Yay!
the fine old Jay Leno hosted Tonight Show.
Guys,
super sad.
You guys ever watch that show?
I do not.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say I don't think I ever watched his show.
It's certainly not a whole one. I may have tuned in if there was a guest. That was like when Jimmy was on
or whatever. But
I remember when Hugh Grant was on after he had that big fiasco. He was busted for having sex with that hooker in the car. Remember that? He came on there to do his big national apology. I remember tuning in for that segment. But I don't believe I've ever turned on an entire episode of Tonight Show.
Yeah.
So, obviously, no loss for me, but a lot of America watches The Tonight Show, my friend.
Sure.
And it will be his last one. He is going out as current and as relevant as always. Jay's guest tonight will be Billy Crystal and Garth Brooks. So, if you're a big fan of 1987, this will be a good Tonight Show for you to tune in and watch Jay's last one.
Everybody can do what they should do that now and tune over to Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, that should have been the case all along.
Agreed.
Yeah. And if not, then David Letterman's a really good choice, too. I'm just saying. I love Jimmy.
Right.
But Jimmy loves David Letterman as much as I do.
Probably more.
So I'm just saying it's another option. But right. Jimmy should be your first choice.
Correct.
And then David Letterman.
Tape so Dave.
It's pretty good. This is good news. Psych, which is in its eighth season, will be going away after this season. That's not the good news. The good news is that the president of the USA Network said, while the series will wrap in March, somehow I don't believe we've heard the last of Sean and Gus. So if you're a Psych fan, I know David K. Mixon is. I enjoy that show as well.
Does that mean movie?
Yeah, the rumor has it that perhaps it will be at least TV movies. They'll do maybe a yearly TV movie or a couple of them in the pipeline, but you get to see those characters back again. And they're really talented guys. Both James Roday and Dulé Hill are great on that show. So that's good news for TV fans.
Psych!
And ABC has announced they picked up a series called The Astronaut Wives Club.
Okay.
This is a series that will be about the women behind the men who, as you can imagine, were on their way to space and in space in the 60s, when at the height of the United States space program. So it'll take place in 1969, and I'm guessing we'll move forward. And it's about the wives of astronauts.
My husband is Buzz.
I think it was a book.
It is a book. I haven't read it yet. I have bought it, but I have not read it yet. But I'm fascinated with that.
But didn't read it.
I'm fascinated with just that period in the American space program, so I'm excited about it.
It was an exciting time. And
absolutely.
If you ever saw Apollo 13, you know that the families of these brave men who went into space suffered in some ways even more so than the ones who were in the program.
Imagine.
Even the ones who were successful in the program would be gone for long stretches and, of course, training all the time. And it was a lot of self-sacrifice for the families of the astronauts in the space program in the 60s and 70s. So this could be very interesting. It could be like a Mad Men thing, but like from a female point of view with space. And rockets.
I'm in.
Rockets and junk.
Let me know how that is.
And speaking of wives, do you watch any of those Real Housewives shows?
No. None of them.
I haven't either, but I hate them. I don't know why I hate them so much for not having watched them, but I hate the women who are on those shows.
Because, like so many, they don't do anything.
I have a visceral reaction to them when I see them on the tabloids or in the news or whatever. And this is another reason. Brandi Glanville, apparently, is one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
She's got a drinking problem.
Okay.
She told Us Weekly magazine that she blames her dad for her drinking problem. What did dad do? Did he beat her as a child? Was he abusive? Was he distant? Was he cold? Was he an alcoholic? Nope. She because it all goes back to 2013, all the way back to 2013, when her dad called her and told her that the dress she wore to the 2013 Oscars was too revealing. She said, I had a falling out with him. That's when I started drinking, to numb the pain. Are you kidding me?
What?
You numb the pain of dad saying he didn't like your dress? Really? Is that the excuse you're going to use?
Dads are supposed to feel that way about their daughter's dresses.
Well, regardless.
That's ridiculous.
She's a grown-ass woman. This happened last year. She's boozing now because dad said, oh, that dress. That's what it took to push you off the edge?
He didn't say, like, it makes you look fat.
It's a you whore.
Right, nothing like that. Too revealing.
Yeah, she's hardly Dylan Farrow at this point.
She says she's making up with him, so she's trying now to manage her alcohol problem because that's where it all stemmed from.
Just let it go.
God, I'm afraid. What am I going to say to my kid? It's going to spiral her out of control. If just not liking a dress is enough to send a woman into a drunken spiral. See what I mean by these women?
Yeah.
These housewives women.
Yeah.
They're no astronauts' wives. That's all I got to say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Zsa Zsa Gabor, 97 years old today. Actor Rip Torn, one of the great names in show business, by the way.
Sure.
Rip Torn, 83 years old. Tom Brokaw, legendary NBC anchor for many years on their news program, 73 years old. Robert Townsend is 57, as is actress and funny lady Kathleen DeJimmy. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 52. Allison Hayslip, our friend, TV show host, actress, comedian, 32 years old. Alice Eve is 31. Crystal Reed, for Allison from Teen Wolf, is 28 years old. And singer Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Rick is 48 years old today, and he looks 8. He looked 12 when he was...
That's true.
20 years ago, so he never ages, God bless him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph Garman, so yes. Saturday afternoon, you head on down there to Staples Center to root on your Philadelphia Flyers.
Yes.
And try to get into some fistfights with some Kings fans. Like
I wanted
you
to
drunken...
have a couple beers and start throwing some punches, yeah.
And... Right, you and your hood rat friends went down there to cause some trouble. And you're there for the hockey, but then something magical happens.
Right.
What was it?
Well, I was telling Kevin, I said, I don't go to a lot of Kings games, obviously because I'm a diehard Philadelphia Flyers fan, and so when they're in town, that's when I go by. So I just happened to go down Saturday to watch the game with some friends who were visiting from Philadelphia, and the game was exciting enough. I was looking forward to the game.
Right.
But then who walks out onto the ice to sing our national anthem but my favorite contestant from American Idol, Pia Toscano, was there.
Yeah,
yes, she was.
So now I know her as one of my favorite singers and also Philadelphia Flyers good luck charm, Pia Toscano. That's what I call her now. So we have to get her to start singing at every Flyers game because apparently that's when they win.
I don't think she's the good luck charm for the Flyers.
Well, it sure was the case on Saturday, my friend.
Well, it just worked out that we were talking about Pia after the weekend, and then Pia's people heard about it, and they said, hey, Pia's in town, and she's appearing at the Hotel Cafe on Thursday night. Why don't you guys have her in? And we're like, what? So here she is, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Pia Toscano joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you. HotelCafe.com is where you want to go. That show is going to be tonight. You and your partner, Jared Lee, are going to be singing tonight. We'll talk some more about that in a minute, but let's talk about this hockey thing. So you are a semi-regular for the Los Angeles Kings. And you're part of the reason they won the cup a couple years ago, right?
Well, I hope I'm part of the reason. That was a fun year. But this year I'm doing 20 games plus most of the playoffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, that's what happens when the Kings get in the playoffs. And that
they bring out the big guns.
Incredible run. She was out there before every game. And then it was like...
It's a lot of pressure, though. Because the fans, like, if I wear my hair the wrong way, they're like, oh, God, I don't know if we're going to win now. And then last year...
It's a superstitious bunch.
Yeah, they're so superstitious. So now I'm, like, more nervous for the actual result of the game than I am to
say. Because it's your fault if they lose.
Because it's my fault. And last year I got laryngitis during the playoffs.
Oh,
and
that's
I
not
could
all right.
Not... My vocal cords were like broken. I could not sing. Sound checked anyway. They played the organ to cover everything up, and I couldn't do it.
Oh, no.
And it was like a really important game, and that was the first game they lost.
Oh, Pia, way to go.
Because I was not there.
Damn you right to hell.
But now, I was so upset.
Why would somebody want to continuously sing the national anthem? Isn't that a ridiculously hard song for you to sing, Pia?
It's the hardest song you could sing, and it's just like I've sung the national anthem since I was about 11 years old. It was the first song I ever sung in front of a big crowd. And it's like I still go out there and I get tremendous amounts of butterflies in my stomach.
Well,
and you always think you're
going
to forget the words and all this stuff. Yeah, because you're out there completely exposed by yourself.
I'm not saying this just because you're here, but you did a beautiful job on Saturday.
You
really did.
Oh, I'm glad
gorgeous.
You were there.
Yes, it
Thank
was lovely.
What did you think of Renee Fleming's rendition at the Super Bowl?
I thought she was stunning. Absolutely stunning.
That's a whole different kind of singing, right?
Yeah, but I mean, she was amazing. I'm a huge fan, and She's a tremendous singer.
I thought she was 2 minutes and 11 seconds, and it was supposed to be 2 minutes and 21 seconds, and I took the over.
Yeah.
So I lost money on it. That's all I know.
Kevin bet on it. That's all he cares about. It's like a true American. You bet on the national anthem.
So you weren't – it's not like you grew up as a hockey fan. This thing almost is a fluke that you got so closely associated with the Kings, right?
Total fluke. I just went to a game with my manager, and I was like, I want to sing the national anthem. So I sang one regular season game, and Luc Robitaille – liked the way I rendered the song and invited me back for the playoffs. And that's when all the good luck happened.
And then, Stanley, next thing you know, Stanley Cup. Do you have a ring?
I do not have
a ring. They didn't give you a ring?
No.
You're getting ripped off.
I have a jersey, though. I have a jersey with my name on it.
This is the voice of singers get rings, Kevin. I don't think that's the way
it
works.
No, the guy for the Blackhawks, I think, does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
She
was there every home game that year, 2012. Yes. Every home playoff game.
I deserve one.
I think you deserve one as well.
Put in a good word for me.
I think I heard, and I think this is comparable, I could be wrong about this, but I think the play-by-play announcers for the Seahawks yesterday revealed that they are getting Super Bowl rings because they're part of the team, you know, part of the broadcast team. So it seems to me like if they can get a ring for calling the game, Pia should get a ring for singing at the game. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Pia Toscano is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, you can see her live in person with her partner Jared Lee tonight at the Hotel Cafe, hotelcafe.com. What part of town is that in, by the way, Pia?
That's in Hollywood. It's Hollywood. Cahuenga. Okay, right? Yeah, it's on Cahuenga. First time performing there, so I'm really excited. It's going to be an acoustic set.
Now, are you guys a duo? Do you perform together all the time, or you still have a solo career?
Yeah, I mean, we both still work on our solo careers, but we just thought it was really... It was fun and different what's going on in the industry right now. So we just wanted to try something new, and we really love performing together. I've known him since I was 16 years old, and I wrote my first two songs with him.
Oh, wow.
So we performed at the Viper Room, like, last year, and a lot of people, Randy Jackson actually said, you know, you guys have something very special when you sing together. Yeah, dog. And then he was like, why don't you just explore this a little more? And so we have, and we're, you know, working on our... EP.
Are you doing all original songs tonight?
All original. Well, mostly originals and like two or three covers.
Okay. Yeah. And how big's the room for people who are trying to envision coming down to see you?
Well, it's open to the public, and I think it seats about 100. Well, it doesn't seat 140, but I think the capacity, it's like 140, maybe 200.
Okay. Right. Intimate little gathering. We'll find room for you. Come on down.
We'll find room for you.
We have to take a break, Pia, but I'm fascinated to go back just a little bit to your season of American Idol and find out what it's like to be done with that show and then how you attack the rest of your career. Like, there's so many different ways you can go, so many choices that have to be made. I mean, you've got that minute in the spotlight, and what do you do with it? Obviously, it's working out for you, but we want to hear more about that, too. Pia Toscano is here. You can follow her on Twitter at Pia Toscano, the website PiaToscanoOfficial.com. We'll be right back after this on K-Rock.
This ends, right? It just fades. It fades.
You've heard it.
You've heard the end
We've
of
all
that.
Heard that before.
Don't worry about it.
Let's move on.
We'll hear it again.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Thursday morning. We're in a hurry to get out of that lovely song because Pia Toscano is in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. She's going to be at the Hotel Cafe tonight with Jared Lee performing. Tickets available through hotelcafe.com.
Yes.
So, Pia.
Yes.
You auditioned how many times before we finally saw you on our TVs on American Idol?
Five times.
Five times?
Yes.
That's nuts.
But you know what? Thank God it happened that way because I started when I was, I think, 16 or 17 years old. My dad, I was in high school at the time.
This is New York, right? You grew up in New York?
I grew up in New York, and I went to Performing Arts High School, and I was right in the middle of this big musical that I was doing. And my dad was like, the final auditions of American Idol are in Vegas. We're going. And we stayed in a really awful hotel.
Oh, no. There's plenty of those.
We thought it was like a one-day thing. Like, you see the judges, all that stuff. Right. And it was like a really drawn-out process. I didn't make it year after I made it to Hollywood. And then it was just a lot of tries after that. And I almost didn't do it. What was it, 10?
Yeah.
And my dad was like, listen, they are in New Jersey. If you don't do this, like, you know, I'm like, they know me so well, I could... be part of the staff. I didn't want them to laugh at me.
Part of the fear at that point is when you show up for your fifth audition, they already are used to saying no to you, and they kind of go, oh, she's just here to waste our time again because she's clearly not good enough. But you must have done something that time around where they changed their mind.
The staff liked me. The staff, everybody.
The judges.
It was
Simon Cowell.
Great to see you. Come on in.
My beloved Simon Cowell.
So what was it about the fifth time, do you think, that got you
as far as long as you did versus the other times. You didn't get exponentially better as a singer, I'm sure.
I did a lot more homework. I really worked on my voice. I studied a lot more material, and I was just more confident. Mm. And that
the presentation.
That is like, yeah, I was a lot more confident because I didn't really expect much coming out of it. I was like, I'm just going to get rejected again. So let me just show y'all.
You shut
got.
My dad up. So
I remember everyone being shocked when you got eliminated that season yeah. 10. I know I was visibly upset.
You wrote a strongly worded letter. If I did.
It was really a shocking season. Beam, of course, was all about Scotty McCreery. But I was.
I heard.
Were you stunned when that happened? Did you really think that you would get further along in the process?
No, I actually was not stunned at all. My parents, I was begging them to come out. They came to see me, the top 12 girls
right.
performance, when I sang I'll Stand By You. And then I have a gigantic family. So we wanted to give everybody a shot at coming to see the show. Because my dad, he's like, I'm studying the Vegas poll. You're gonna win, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, Dad, something strange is going on. I don't think something's weird is happening. Come out here, please. He came out, him and my mom, for my last performance. I told him the night before. I was like, I'm studying people, and their vibes are telling me I'm going home. And
I'll Stand By You. That Pretender song you did was one of your strongest performances of the season.
I'll be doing that tonight too at Hotel Cafe.
Awesome, great. So you did. So, you thought you saw it coming.
I saw it coming.
Mm. How about
maybe
that?
I put those vibes out into the world.
Maybe. Yeah. she wants to go home. Let's get rid of her.
No, it was
when you are eliminated from the show, are your do they cut the ties with you? Do they have no further hold on you? Like you're not under a contract with them or anything like that to perform or to do a deal, right? You're on your own.
I think I was. I mean, I didn't pay a lot of attention. That's
good. It's very savvy of you.
No, I'm just like savvy. In La La Land sometimes, and my team like
what? I can be a roadie
that.
For One Direction. Okay, Simon, whatever you say.
So, what happens next? Then, do you just sit by the phone and wait for hope that somebody saw you on TV and they'll call and you offer you a record deal? Or do you then try to make appointments to go ahead and start auditioning for labels, or what do you do?
I was very fortunate because, following my departure from the show, Interscope signed me. Jimmy Iovine and Larry Jackson signed me in 19 recordings. So I started on an album right away. And I had lots of wonderful opportunities. And
where is that album?
2020, maybe.
How does it happen that you have that much momentum and you go in and you do an album and then it doesn't come?
You know, this business is so hard. And I think everybody, too, expects you to release something immediately right. after you come off that show. But it's just, there's so much, there's artist development, there's so much that goes into becoming a huge performer. Like Beyonce and Bruno Mars, it takes a really long time. Like Katy Perry was signed a bunch of times and dropped, and then she finally made it. But with me, it was just, I think people were really trying to find out what my sound was, and I had a lot of people on my team. There were a lot of,
a lot of different opinions.
Yeah. But you know,
as you mentioned, you were young too. So
I
it's probably
was really
hard for
young.
You to decide what you
yeah,
wanted.
Yeah, I
do.
Didn't really have much of a. Well, I had all these opinions, but I would never voice them until it was kind of too late.
Oh, interesting. If you forgive me if this is a I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if there's an artist that you could point to that has the kind of career that you emulate that you'd love to follow in his or her footsteps, who would it be?
Oh man, I love Jennifer Hudson. I really mm-hmm. do. I think she's got a massive career and she's an incredible singer and she's really stayed true to herself.
But she's not someone who has hit records per se though, right? I mean, she's an artist, but she's not really a big radio favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I guess and I just love that she's an all-around respected artist with movies and she's endorsements and everything and people, she's one of the most incredible singers. So, you know, but
you don't get the Weight Watchers deal though.
Maybe. You never know. Maybe that will get me.
I would think right now it's hard for a female artist because unless you're doing dance pop or R&B, it seems like there's not a lot of room in the industry for someone who's really primarily a singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have to Miley it up if you want to get a deal, it looks like
you
these days.
You stick your tongue out and twerk somebody.
You just got to really stay true to yourself because the audience could see through all that. They could see through all the, you know, for me, for Miley it works. I actually really love Miley as an artist.
I do too. I do
she's
too.
She's great. But yeah, I mean, I also love like Carrie Underwood. I think she's got a brilliant career. I think she's a wonderful person and you know.
So tonight when you're at the Hotel Cafe, yeah. Again, hotelcafe.com, if you want to see Pia Toscano with Jared Lee performing together, is that the perfect environment for you? Is that someplace where you'll go out and that's a room and you're going to be doing the kind of material you like that you're most comfortable with, and that's like a great start for you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done a show like this in a really long time. Oh, actually, this is like my first time doing this kind of thing, and it's a stripped down acoustic performance. It's just acoustic guitar, Cajon, and Jared and I on vocals, and he plays the keys as well, and we're just doing all of our material stripped down, so it's going to be really nice. And I think in a few weeks we're going to do a live, like a full band thing as well.
Oh, fun.
So it's nice. I feel like I'm finally in my element doing what I love.
Fantastic.
Sometimes it takes
all right,
longer.
Well, congratulations. When will we see you at the Staples Center again?
I will be back March 3rd. Unless
all right.
They
March
can.
3rd.
Yeah, the NHL takes 2 weeks off for the Olympics. So.
Oh, that's
yes.
Right. Yeah.
Tonight's Pia, I'm so glad this worked out. It was such a fluke that it happened, but we're so grateful you were able to stop by and see us. We really enjoyed meeting you.
I'll
thank
stop
you.
Stop by anytime.
Enjoy tonight.
K-Rock's World Tour 2014 destination number one is Arcade Fire in Rome. The one in Italy. Give you a chance to qualify. Get on that standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning. That's about a half an hour from right now. And we'll talk to former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, about how the Lakers managed to win a game last night with only four eligible players. Something that's never been done before in the history of the NBA, if I understand correctly, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't think I know I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Guys fouled out. And they let him
stay in the game.
They let him stay in the game.
Wow.
Right.
I've never seen that before.
So Money knows basketball. He'll explain that to us. First, though, one of these Super Bowl commercials that most of us didn't get a chance to see during the game because it only aired on the Fox affiliate in Savannah, Georgia, is the one that's getting all the talk now. It's been viewed almost 3 million times on YouTube. And this is a locally made commercial by an attorney named Jamie Cassino. It's incredible for a lot of different reasons. First of all, when you picture those locally made attorney commercials, you picture something that cost about $40 to make.
Yeah, right? They're
terrible. Just a guy with a bad suit and toupee sit behind a desk.
I will fight for you.
Right. This guy made a commercial that has every special effect that you've ever seen in a Hollywood movie. And it's got flames and it's got Jesus. And it's unbelievable. You can't really get the full impact by listening to it. But here's a little bit of Jamie Cassino and a commercial where he tries to clear his late brother's name.
I'm Jamie Cassino. You may have seen some of my personal injury commercials on TV. I wasn't always a personal injury lawyer. I once was a notorious criminal defense lawyer who was employed by some of the most cold-hearted villains. My art brought me great wealth until one day my little brother Michael and his friend were two or four people whose lives were taken.
Your brother was involved in a situation last night. He was shot. He didn't make it.
After the tragedy, our chief of police deceived you to make it look like the police department had lost control.
No innocent people were targeted.
Daddy, what do you do when you go to work?
At some point, a man must ask why God created him. I'm attorney Jamie Cassino, and I don't represent villains anymore. I speak for innocent victims who cannot speak for themselves.
So he's like a superhero now, right?
Yeah. He's got the music. He's wearing a cape, I think.
It's what it sounds like. It's like a Jason Statham movie or something. Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave, what could you do for us? And we got Jamie Cassino himself on the phone with us here on the Kevin Amin Show right now from Georgia. Hey, Jamie, how are you?
How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Good.
Congratulations on the commercial.
Thanks.
You're awfully intense. Now, the short version of this is that the police chief basically said your brother was shot and killed because he was doing something wrong. He was not an innocent, as he put it.
Yeah, that scumbag said that my brother was doing something wrong when he got shot.
Right.
He was trying to make it seem like his own police force hadn't lost control.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. That's why I stopped being a lawyer who represented villains.
Right.
And now I represent the little guy. Because so it's all about the hammer of justice.
That's what I understand. Whoa, what's happening? You have the hammer of justice right there with you?
I always have the hammer of justice with me. Wherever I go, justice goes with me.
There's
justice.
There's a scene of you in the video hammering what looks like a big piece of concrete or something like that, and you're surrounded by a ring of flames.
A headstone?
My brother's tombstone.
It's a tombstone, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's what it is, scumbag.
Right. Sorry.
Justice. Sledgehammer of justice.
Right. This was not an inexpensive commercial for you to make, Mr. Cassino.
Every penny was worth it, because because if I can get one unjustly accused man, if I can prove his innocence and restore his name, then it's all worthwhile.
Justice. I need my own music like that. What's happening? You all right, Jamie?
Sledgehammer of justice.
Wow, just did some damage.
That's right, I did damage. I'm Jamie Cassino, and I'll fight
yes, you
for
are.
You.
Yes. Okay. All right. Is there any way we can get less of the music? Okay.
Justice.
Justice, right.
Justice.
Okay, justice, right. So,
maybe we shouldn't use that word.
Go ahead. What's your question?
You said, I must tell this in a cinematic way. It makes it more appealing. People like movies, and it looks like a movie trailer. I swear to God, I thought it was a movie trailer when I saw it. I was a little bit disappointed to find out that you were just an attorney.
Just an attorney? I'm not just an attorney. You know what I'm fighting for?
What?
Justice. And if you think justice is just another thing, well, that's all right. But that's not how I feel.
How do you feel?
I'm a personal injury attorney, so, you know, if you get bit by a dog or something, I'll get you justice.
That didn't sound quite as strong.
Justice!
That's before. All right, there we go. There it is. All right.
Justice.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin Abid's April Foolishness, 2013. Bill Burr will be there. There are a few single tickets available, I think, still. If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Do it quickly rather than lately.
Editing all through that. That's suspect at best.
Really? Because I kind of remember it as it happened.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that as well.
I don't remember it at all. That might surprise you.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, those Kardashians. Those crazy Kardashians.
What are they up to now?
Well, it looks like Kim is spending $30 million on her wedding with Kanye West.
No.
$30 million.
How is that possible? How is that possible?
Well, I guess when you give a gold ingot to every guest as a party favor, you know, that would be part of it. I have no idea how you rack up those kind of bills. But that's the estimated cost for the wedding. And, of course, it will be televised again because it went so well the first time when she had that TV wedding with Chris Humphries.
Yeah, that worked out well. Will that be enough to afford croissants for Kanye at the reception?
I don't know. Somebody should get him some croissants, though.
I think so.
More Kardashian family news. Kylie Jenner. She, of course, is the half-sister of the Kardashian clan. She got injured. Hit her face. Was in the hospital after a trampoline accident caused by her sister Chloe.
Yay!
However, no one will give details on what exactly happened with the Chloe.
Here's the detail. Don't get on a trampoline accident with Chloe.
I imagine she shot her across the backyard is what happened.
Into space.
Kylie's minding her business, jumping on the trampoline. Chloe jumped on it. And
once.
It was like a catapult from a medieval battle. He was shot into the neighbor's yard in Calabasas, a good quarter mile away.
Come on, they film everything in that family. Put that out.
You see that, right? No one will give details behind the injury.
Come on.
But there can't be a trampoline that Chloe could jump on, right?
There can't be. She would go right through it.
No,
there's nothing strong enough for her to be able to jump on. It's elastic.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe she jumped on it and the whole thing collapsed and Kylie was caught in the rubble.
I'm not sure. She's halfway to China.
I don't know, but that's my favorite story ever. And I love that they won't say exactly what happened.
That is awesome. That's great.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are returning with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Our hilarious program where Kevin gets stoned and I get drunk and we talk about the week's entertainment news as well as other hilarious comedy. Come on out and see us. 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. And a lot of people are asking because we are doing a special Valentine's Day show also next week. They said, is it sold out? We can't find the tickets for that one. Here's the thing. You have to go to the calendar of the Improv website. You will see it on the calendar, but it's not on the scroll down under Hollywood Babylon for our upcoming shows.
So excellent.
It's a little confusing.
Make it as difficult as possible. I like that.
But I wanted to give people a heads up who are saying that they couldn't find the the Valentine's Day show for next week. It is on the calendar, so just scroll down on the main page, and you will find it there, and you can get your tickets there. We're going to have a very romantic evening, Kevin and
I'll
I,
bet.
For Valentine's Day. So tonight at 10, excuse me, tomorrow night at 10, and then next week as well.
Not so much.
Today's celebrity birthday is Zsa Zsa Gabor. Is 97 years old today. Almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
She has been deathly ill for like 20 of the last...
Hasn't she been like brain dead?
She's been in the hospital for 7 years or something?
Yeah, they amputated at least one of her legs a few years ago.
At what awful. Point do you just say,
no kidding.
Enough? Rip Torn is 83. Tom Brokaw, 73 years old today. Robert Townsend, the actor and director, is 57, as is actress Kathy Najimy. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 52. He's a good-looking 52, too.
That's he looks terrible.
He's got, really got that human. Whole look pulled together. He looks like one of the Predators from the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie now. Rick Astley is 48. Allison Hayslip, 32. Alice Eve is 31. And Crystal Reed, who played Allison, who plays Allison on Teen Wolf, she's 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So, Kevin, how did you hear about last night's game? Were you watching?
I was not watching. I think somebody tweeted it. But okay. And then I heard it on the way in. I listened to a sports radio station on the way in to find out more about it because I have followed the NBA my entire life, and I've never seen this happen, where one of the Lakers, and the Lakers, by the way, won, first of all. Come on!
Well, it's easy to win when you cheat.
A victory! They are so out of players that somebody right. fouled out last night. Robert Sacre, I think is how you say his name, fouled out, and the refs let him keep playing.
And you're right. That sounds like a mistake, like how the two parts of those sentences can't coexist. Either you foul out or you're in the game, but not both, right?
The Lakers didn't have a fifth player to put on the floor. So the ref said, okay, we're going to let Robert play, even though he just committed a sixth foul.
Now, if this had been a movie, isn't that where you look
yes.
to the audience and look for some guy to come in street clothes to jump on the court and play?
How do you not have a backup someplace?
Well, we're going to get Matt Money Smith on from AM570 in a moment. We're having some trouble with his phone connecting out on the golf course where Matt is right now. But apparently the Lakers have 14 players on their roster, but only 8 were available to play because Kobe is out with a knee, Powell is out with a groin injury, Jody Meeks is out with an ankle, Jordan Hill is out with a neck injury, Henry's out with a knee, all out injured. Steve Nash was out being held for rest because of some problems with his back and some nerves, so he wasn't supposed to play either. And they were out of players. And then I guess when you only have so few left and then they start fouling out and you're supposed to take them out of the game, then what do you do if you can't field a full club?
I've never even seen there only be 5 players, let alone one of them fouls out and is allowed to keep playing. There's always
subs. It does seem like there's usually a bunch of guys you don't know sitting on the bench,
yeah.
right?
And they can call them up from wherever they get their players, you know, for a 10-day contract or something. But
right.
they literally didn't have a fifth player. So Robert Sacre was allowed to continue playing even though he had fouled out.
Rule number 3, section 1. No team may be reduced to less than 5 players. If a player in the game receives his 6th personal foul and all substitutes have already been disqualified, said player shall remain in the game and shall be charged with a personal and team foul. A technical foul shall also be assessed against his team. All subsequent personal fouls, including offensive fouls, shall be treated similarly. So, yeah, so foul all you want and stay in the game.
So, in other words, yeah, every foul that he commits is now a technical, but you don't have to leave.
Well, I feel like we've told you everything that could possibly be known about this subject, but we don't know anything that we're talking about. So, let's go to Matt Money Smith, who I think we just finally got on the golf course. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Sorry about that. I was just busy hitting a 240-yard 3-wood on the screws.
Please. Please.
Very nice.
Money, have you ever seen what happened last night in the Laker game? Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, it just happened like 2 years ago.
What? To who?
Yeah, with the Warriors, Steph Curry. And it's just one of those weird occurrences where you have a limited roster and a bunch of dudes get hurt during the game, and next thing you know, you're stuck. And look, it's Here's why it's a bad deal for the Lakers, because they're already a laughing stock, and they're already on a seven-game losing streak, and they've already allowed 100 points to 15 consecutive opponents. So this just makes them look like a bunch of bumbling fools.
But you know? Shouldn't they do like they do in hockey and have, like, you know, 5-on-4 or something like that? Like, really spice it up?
The difference is that you would lose. I mean, like, of course you'd lose, but I mean you would allow a basket on every single play. I mean, in the NBA, if you went 5-on-4, it would be...
There's no killing a power play like they do in hockey.
No, it'd be a disaster. You could try to run a little box zone there around the basket, but, you know, these players can make 15-footers all day long if they're left open, so yeah.
When we were talking about this before you came on the line, Money, Kevin brought up a good point, which is when you have a bunch of your starters hurt, why... I mean, we see this in other sports all the time. Why don't you go to the minor leagues or wherever you get your players from and bring up a couple guys to fill in the slack if need be?
Yeah, I mean, they should. And the problem is you can't stash more than a guy on the disabled list. You know, you can't... Unfortunately, you can't call up too many guys unless you get rid of them. You know, so now you're stuck, and they can call guys up. You can only put 15 men on your roster. You stash a guy. It's not like football where they have the physically unable to perform list, the different disabled list in baseball where some are 15, some are retroactive. You know what I mean?
Don't they like have 10-day contracts and stuff like that, like other sports?
Exactly. But, you know, the Lakers would have to sign 5 of those guys at this point, you know, instead of one. I mean, you know, teams will do 1 or 2 throughout the course of the year, but the Lakers are such a Nash unit that they would have to literally sign like a half a dozen guys onto those 10-day contracts.
Well, wow. They couldn't lose more, I don't think, than the Lakers are.
I'll tell you one of the great things, sorry to jump you, Kevin, there's two great things about last night, if you can dig up the video and some of the post-game audio. One is that Robert Sacre is essentially Jim Brewer from Half Baked in the way that he talks. So to hear his commentary where he's like, I got my foul, and I'm like, what? I'm staying in the game? And it was just like all weird. Like, it's just great to hear that and
love
how
it.
Confused he was.
Love it.
And then the second part is there were so few guys on the bench that when Chris came and fouled out, who, by the way, is about 7'10", he just lays out across all the open chairs because there's nobody on the team.
Laying down on the chairs.
Yeah, what do you know? There's 7 chairs open here on the bench. I'm just going to go ahead and take a nap.
Look,
have the Lakers quit?
They should.
And I mean that seriously. Have they quit?
No, look, it's very hard to give up 100 points in 15 consecutive games. I mean, that's pretty hard. You basically have to consciously look at your opponent and say, okay, he's coming at the basket. I got an idea. I'm just going to move.
Get out of the way.
Happens. I mean, that's how bad defensively that their effort has been. And then beyond that, they're not making the playoffs. The West is so stacked. So at this point, if you're Jim Boss, you know, and Mitch Kupchak, you want them to lose. I mean, it's sad to say, but that's the reality of the situation between now and mid-April. You are better off losing games, and you're better off losing games and getting more than you are winning games and, you know, maybe slipping out of that top three in what is a very good draft.
It's funny. Right. I heard somebody saying that the Lakers were cheating by doing that, and I was thinking to myself, if we were going to give ourselves an advantage, it would not be with Robert Sacre.
Hey, listen.
That would not be the guy.
I'll say this. You want to talk about cheating, wait until the conspiracy kicks in and they get the number one overall pick in the draft.
I know. I can't wait.
That's the cheat I'm talking about.
Before we go here, Matt, the Cavaliers may even be worse than the Lakers, though. So if this event was going to happen last night with the fouling out, it's good that it happened against Cleveland, I guess, right?
Well, or bad, because it would have been great.
Or bad, depending on how you just described it, right.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Dean, because I will say this. For all the people that are calling for Mike D'Antoni's head, and he's probably going to get fired. I mean, the Lakers are in last place for the first time since 1974. So think about it. He's the coach of the team that's in last place for the Lakers since 1974.
Right.
Wow.
If you want to fire him and hire a new coach, the two coaches that were doing battle last night and trying desperately to out-crap one another were both hired by Jim Buss, Mike Brown. Mike, he hired both of them.
That's true.
So that's the guy
hilarious.
That's going to hire the replacement.
Well, I'm glad you explained to us what happened, because even Pau Gasol was tweeting last night that he had never seen that situation before and had never heard of that rule before. So even people in the game are unfamiliar with the way it unfolded last night. But very interesting.
God love the benevolent Canadian who's like, hey, look, eh, I'm not supposed to be playing, but I'll run to the locker room and put on my jersey, eh? And here comes Steve Nash, you know, fresh-faced and crazy-legged in the fourth quarter sitting on the bench after he wasn't supposed to be playing in a back-to-back. Like I said, if the Lakers weren't such a bundle of Keystone Cops at this point, probably wouldn't have been as big a deal, but that certainly magnifies the situation.
Money, thank you for your time. Go hit shot number 8 or 9 or whatever you're on.
Hey, I want you to listen. I would be happy to put this phone down and let you hear what 155 pounds of golf and thunder sounds like on the tee box.
All right, let's hear it. Okay? Go ahead. Put it down.
Well, actually, it's about a 40-yard chip after that bomb of a 3-wood. So here we go.
All right.
And Dr. Blasi, chiropractor to the stars, is going to validate how good this chip shot is.
You're going to hold the phone. All right. That's good.
Put the phone down.
All right. Petros and Money Show airs weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on AM 570.
I just nutted probably about a 30-foot chip into the sand trap.
Nothing happened.
It would not have gone further left if I had intentionally tried to hit it there.
Then our work here is done.
Yeah. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
I miss Pia. I miss when Pia Toscano was in with us. That was fun. Yeah. Nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is.
What? You guys disagree with any word of that?
No.
Not the words. No.
She's a nice lady. I didn't say anything creepy. I just enjoyed meeting her. She's very lovely, very smart.
The music is louder than the lyrics sometimes, my friend.
The words of that bar you just talked to, define creepy.
Anyway, if you missed it, she stopped by and saw us Lex that last hour. You ought to be checking out the Kevin and Bean podcast. If you're one of those people who tunes in, you get your like 20 minutes of Kevin and Bean for the day. That's not enough. You can get the podcast. You can subscribe through iTunes and never miss a glorious moment. That's my advice to you.
The stuff you don't hear is great.
Oh, we're so good when you're not listening. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Let's see how this goes.
Or you can just go to Hollywood Babylon podcast on iTunes. You just get that one. And then you get all of this stuff. Showbiz news and the comedy and the voices and the impressions.
But no Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. See?
I think that's his point.
See what my point is? See what I'm getting at there? See what I'm getting at?
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying, it's different strokes for different folks. Depends on what
essentially what you're saying,
whatever your taste may be.
What you're saying is the only part of the Kevin and Bean Show that's worth listening to is the parts that you're on.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying options. There are options. This is America. You have choices.
Right. No Lisa on your little podcast. I'll tell you that.
No,
we win that.
True.
We win for Lisa.
You win there. The podcast does have one showbiz beat in it,
mm-hmm.
even though I do 5 in the course
of
the day.
No, we put 2. We put 2 podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I don't want. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. We have 2. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you enjoy that sort of thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. Hollywood Babylon provides that. So you could do both. You could have Kevin and Bean if you want to hear. Just let it go. You want to hear that? And hey, I miss Beaver when he was the man I fell in love with. If you want that, you can listen to that, or you can listen to Hollywood Babylon. Speaking of which,
I think our listeners are making the right choice.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. It is Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. We're having our late show, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. We'd love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com if you'd like to get your tickets. We'd love to see you.
Nope.com.
And we will be worshiping at the altar that is George Clooney, and rightly so.
Nope.com.
You may remember that after the Golden Globes telecast, I mentioned George Clooney commented on the joke made by hosts Tina Fey and Amy Poehler when they said Gravity was nominated for Best Film. It's the story of how George Clooney would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age. That was,
it was
their
a
joke
great line
about Clooney.
That was funny.
In an interview with Today on NBC, they asked him about that joke, and he said, yeah, it's a well-crafted joke. I can appreciate that. But they have poked the bear with a stick. Oh, they have poked the bear. Well, revenge was a dish served this week. We found out what the prank was in response to that joke. And it's kind of magical because it's a twofer. That's
all right.
It's a threefer.
All right.
Because he hit Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and also incorporated one of his friends as well. You may remember during that same telecast that they made jokes at Matt Damon's expense as well. They were saying there's so many famous people in the room. Matt Damon, they were talking to him at the table. You're basically like a garbage man.
Right.
compared to all these other stars. You're a garbage man.
Right.
And Damon came out on stage and said, hey, it's me, the garbage man again. And he was talking about it. So George Clooney, at his own expense, had custom-made stationery made with Matt Damon's name on it and sent a handwritten, heartfelt letter to Tina Fey and Amy Poehler posing as Matt Damon.
Okay.
Talking about how hurt and offended he was about the jokes they made at Matt Damon's expense at the Golden Globes.
Love it.
Here's a little piece of what Clooney wrote in the letter. Look, it sounds hypocritical because I laughed at jokes about George and Leo, but that's sort of what people think about them. But when you call me a garbage man, it just seems like low-hanging fruit. It seems like an easy joke. I don't want an apology or anything else. I just want you to know now that my kid now calls me the garbage man. Damon, who was not aware of Clooney's prank, received two large fruit baskets from Tina Fey and Amy Poehler with two letters attached to them. First letter read, I thought you of all people could take a joke. And listen, we're both really sorry. And the second letter is spectacular. Here it is. Dear Matt, if your note is part of some George Clooney prank, as I strongly suspect it is, you A-list amateurs are going to have to step it the F up. We're not as easily confused starlets you're dealing here with. We're grown-ass professional comedians. Please accept this fruit as a token of our sincerity. Best wishes, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Love it.
So they suspected as much, and it turns out everybody got everybody on this one.
Love it. That's a great prank from Clooney.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But they had a sniff. They thought something was up, and they were right. So, good times.
I saw the story yesterday, Ralph, that they unveiled the woman who had, I guess George was raising some money for Africa or something like that. It was one of those deals where you put in 10 bucks to win a date.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was revealed. I guess she went out on the date with him and everything. And it was everything that she ever dreamed it would be. For 10 bucks, she got to go out for a night with George Clooney. And apparently he was just a perfect gentleman and just a delight and just couldn't have been more fun.
Of course he was.
Whatever.
And she's a single mom who hadn't had a date in like 3 years. Yeah. I mean, it was just the perfect story.
Then he wrecked her.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm sure she hoped he did.
But he just punished it.
Clooney's the best.
Yes, he is. Better than your Weird Al Yankovic. Better
Except
than
for Weird Al.
All.
Weird
no.
Al. Weird Al's no. the best person ever, but Clooney's close.
Better.
Got to side with Ralph on this
Selena
one.
Selena Gomez in rehab. Checked in secretly to the Dawn at the Meadows Rehab Center in Wickenburg, Arizona.
Selena! Selena! That's
her nurse.
Miss Gomez, Selena!
It's her nurse at the rehab center.
God damn it!
Yeah, trying to get her to stop using out in the courtyard. Did not go well. She canceled her Australian tour just days before she checked in on January the 5th. And her spokespeople were saying the check-in was voluntary and it's not for substance abuse. Which seems odd, considering that the Dawn at the Meadows is a rehab center for substance abuse.
What was it for, then?
They won't say.
Huh.
However, Star Magazine claims that Selena was, in their words, heavily into the drug Molly. And was using prescription drugs like Xanax and Ambien as well. So, depending on who you talk to.
Well, she didn't go there for nothing. We do know that.
Right. And keep in mind, the Meadows, as it's known amongst the the hipster addicts, is one of the very pricier rehab centers. So if you're going to spend that kind of cash to go in for something, it should be something, right?
Yeah, I would think
right.
so.
What do you think it costs a month to check into the Dawn at the Meadows?
A month?
A month.
I'd say, I know they're very expensive.
Very expensive.
$20,000?
$39,000 a month.
Wow.
It's cheaper to stay on drugs than it is to get rehabbed, turns out.
And more fun.
Tiger Woods did his rehab stint at the Meadows. However, there are three more expensive places for rehab.
More expensive than that? Than $39,000 a month?
The Wonderland Center, which I think is probably the opposite of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You're going, oh, it's the Wonderland. No, no. Your Wonderland was when you were snorting in
Wonderland
the
ends today when
Lindsay.
You walk in the door.
Yeah, it's not the Wonderland anymore. It's the poop land. Here's who went there. Lindsay Lohan, Michael Tyson, Christian Slater, Pat O'Brien fought his demons there.
Sure. And won.
And Michael Jackson also spent some time at the Wonderland Center. How much you thinking?
More than 39,000.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
49,000.
What?
$58,000
wow.
a month. Wow. Beaumont at Newport Beach is $80,000 a month. Or $96,000 if you want a private floor. If you want your entire, if you want a floor for yourself. That'll cost you $96,000.
For a month.
A month. And then the Dunes, East Hampton, New York. This is the place. This is the Ritz-Carlton of rehabs.
Okay. I didn't know there was that category.
There is. The Dunes, right. The Montage of rehabs. $105,000.
Oh, you.
But that's for 90 days. You get like a package deal.
Oh,
there.
All right. Okay.
So that's a minimum then. Stay, but 90 days, you know, that's, you're breaking it down. What's it, like 33K a month or something like that? So. But they
rehab the crap out of you there with that, that kind of money. Oh, they
well, they let you drink. That's the that's the draw
that's
there.
The upside. That's why you pay so much.
Do you think you pay so much because those facilities keep Dr. Drew out so he can't come in there and kill you like he does?
Kill you like he does most of his patients. Or knock you up like he does the teenagers.
That's not the case at all.
Oh, okay. He doesn't knock up teen girls. And he doesn't kill celebrities.
Correct.
He's got like 20 of his baby mamas doing reality shows at MTV, Kevin. Wake up.
Yeah. Tell that to them.
It's just a lie.
And Kaniki. Tell them about how wonderful he is.
Just a lie.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris
Kevin is just buying into the man, isn't he?
Yeah. It's like that time Kevin did Scientology, remember? He's just such a sucker. Crystal Reed from Allison. Nope. Crystal Reed, Allison from Teen Wolf, is 28 years old today. Alice Eve, boy, she's just lovely and just talented and that accent and all those things that she has. 31. Allison Hayslip.
We love Allison.
We miss her. Let's have her in. She tweeted out a thank you, by the way, for our show.
Good.
We're wishing her a happy birthday. We let all of her friends know it was her birthday because apparently they don't love her and forgot all about
her. Doesn't she have Facebook? Isn't that where most people learn birthdays these days? It's on your Facebook page?
How much time do you spend on Facebook anymore? I'm almost never on Facebook.
I've never had it, but my understanding is that's how people know when it's your birthday. But I guess I'm wrong about that, too.
I guess they do, but I don't visit nearly as much as I used to.
I'd like to come down on the side of Beans Wrong. I don't know if it's the case or not.
It's always a safe bet, Kevin.
That's just my stance.
You know what they're doing now on the Facebook? It's their 10th anniversary, I think. So if you go to I forget what the site is, but you go there and you click on it, they will put together your Facebook movie.
With music.
With music and editing.
Lisa's done it.
Of course she has. Oh, you have. You got yours in 3D IMAX, I'm sure. But they will put together your most popular pictures, your most liked posts that you put up. It's your life on Facebook in movie form with editing and music and,
that's
and
weird.
Scrolls and chyrons. It's like this little edited piece just for you. More than you ever want to know about Facebook. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 52. Kathy Najimy and Robert Townsend both turned 57 years old today. TV news legend Tom Brokaw is 73. Rip Torn is 83. Actress Zsa Zsa Gabor celebrates her 97th birthday.
Celebrates
a strong word. She turns 97.
She's not aware of it.
And singer Rick Astley. Turns 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He's got a weird voice, Rick Astley.
Yes, he does. It's very strange, and I don't know why he sings like that.
He's like the British Michael McDonald. That's how I think of him.
An all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow. One of our favorites, Rob Hubel, will be on the program.
Oh, love Hubel.
We have Adam Ray in the studio, comedian.
Mm-hmm.
We have highlights of the Olympic opening ceremonies, which are always nonsense.
I think I'm coming out with something.
Well, you can't because you have movie beat.
Oh, that's
because
great.
It is Friday, so we'll see you tomorrow.